This seance was recorded on the 16th of August, 1965, medium Leslie Flint, sitters Mr. Woods and Mrs. Green.
Yep.
You hear your things all the time? Hi, George.
All right, all right.
Yeah, lovely, thank you, Ricky. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Blackpool Illuminations, where you are.
Sorry, I'm thinking
What's upside down?
I had a torch upside down.
Oh. Little Casey is, I'll bet, ain't he?
Oh, yes.
I was glad to hear you, Ricky.
Well,
yeah.
I was looking forward to coming, George.
Well, I'm very pleased when you
Because you've made a miraculous recovery, mate, you have. My God, you have. Talk about anyone banging on the door, you was.
I'm all right now,
thank you.
Thanks to you, people.
What do you want?
Has his lung been blown up again?
Lung been blown up?
That sounds a bit funny.
Well, Dr. Marshall know what I mean if you than that is,
yeah. Well, I did have my lung blown up, what's wrong? Blow my lung up. Sounds a few from Bobby. Never been like that before. Well, I'm very well now. I'm all right now.
Yes,
you're
all right. I'm just
taking
care of
yourself.
Yes.
As long as you follow the instructions that are given, mate.
Yes, that's it, mate.
She's very strict with me.
She's done a good job, she is.
Well, she's very kind anyway. Not a little grumble.
I have a fight sometimes, Mickey.
Yes, I'm sure you do. I believe you can be awkward.
She orders me to say it at certain times, and I...
Does she really?
It makes me sleep. I don't want to sleep. But anyway, she's very good.
Oh, I bet she's the right one for you, mate. It's a pity you didn't meet her 40 years ago.
Yes. Yes, she's very good.
Well, probably wouldn't have been the right time then, you see. There's always the right moment, ain't there, George?
Yes, there is.
Trouble is,
I don't know what I told her,
right.
I know she's doing it for the best anyway.
But how's life treating you, Mickey?
Oh, I think wrong with me, mate. You poor lot that worries me.
You're on the right side, aren't you, Mickey?
Oh, well.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes.
As I know I'm on the right side, but of course there may be many other sides yet. That's the beauty of it all, I suppose. People always think of our world as the next world. Well, it is the next world, but there's the only world as there is a next world sort of thing. You know, it's on depending on how they look at things. But I come to the conclusion there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of worlds, and every world's the next world until you sort of experience it. You know, I mean, it's
the
outlook and adaptation, whatever it is.
That's right.
Yes, that's right,
really.
Well,
it's a hot day, Mickey.
It's a lovely day, Mickey.
It's quite warm, though, you know.
Beautiful out. Good day.
Blue sky, green trees, sunshine.
Lovely. Couldn't have anything better. It's lovely out weather today. It looks lovely. A little friend.
Come on, friend. Very thin, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very
thin.
Come on, friend, we heard you.
I heard you.
Oh, you did. Tell me good.
Good. I heard you.
Yes, come along.
Can you hear me?
Very well, you're very well indeed.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Good.
Mr. Bruce, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Heard all about you.
Indeed.
What do you mean out there? You think there's something to be ashamed of hearing you speak like this?
Oh,
I've heard about you from several different sources. Friends over here.
Good.
It's a strange business, ain't it?
Frank, can you tell us all about yourself and how you passed it?
Heard about them when I was on your side. Mediums never took much notice myself.
No.
Thought it was, you know, not the thing to do.
Yeah.
Not that I was any particular religion or anything like that. I hadn't got much time for it myself.
Yeah.
But I heard about it. My sister, she's a bit daft about spiritualism.
Yeah.
She used to go to Ouija board meetings or something she called them. I don't know what the devil they were. Heard about you too.
Did you find things when you passed over? How did you?
I fell off a tree.
Oh dear.
Off a tree?
Sounds a funny way, doesn't it, of coming over here, but there you are, that's what happened to me. You never know what's going to happen to any of you.
Yeah.
Any of your love would have come here any minute.
Yeah.
I was up a tree, I was sawing some branches. You know, lopping the tree, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there actually wasn't really that killed me in a sense, I suppose. Anyway, I lost my balance and fell off. Banged my head on some paving. Next thing I knew, I was in hospital, and I wasn't there only about 3 days, as far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's what killed me. Staff were dying, and
well,
and
how did you react? How did you react when you passed over? How did you find yourself?
Well, I don't know. It's funny you say I had to find myself, as far as I'm concerned. I never even lost myself. All I know is I woke up and I was sitting in the parlour of a nice little place, and there was my wife, and she was pouring me out a cup of tea. Well, that sounds bloody dark, but that's what happened. She says, I suppose you could do with that. She said, well, you're here. Oh. I said, here too. She's gone, drink that cup of tea, I talked to you. She says, how you feeling? I said, all right. She says, you know you're dead, don't you? Just like that, you know. Just a nice way of talking to someone. Just after all that luck. I said, what'd you say? She says, you're dead. Dead, Lisa, dead. I said, don't you sit down and dead. She said, well, you must be dead. You're here with me. You know I died 15 years ago. It suddenly struck me, just like I don't know what, because it was, of course she had died. But she was wrong about the time, actually it was only about 12 years ago, still. I thought, well, I'll never forget this, you know, crying out loud. I'm dead. She's sitting there. But she was so real, you know, and she looked just like she used to look when she was all in her early 20s, after we'd been married. And I looked round the room and I realised the room was, well, it was a room that was ever so familiar to me when we were first married. Just the same furniture, same crockery on the sideboard, curtains, everything was all familiar. I suppose the old familiarity, you might say, of the whole setup, you know, was so natural, so real, that I didn't think for anything a minute about death, but I didn't even think, I didn't even realise that I was dead. But of course when she said, you know, I died, then I thought, good Lord. What's happening here? You know, then I thought, this is all some dream. I should wake up out of this. She said, you know you're dead. I said, I can't be dead. I said, how can I be dead? Look at you and the room, everything. I said, this is just not right, you know. I said, this is a dream. She says, it's no dream. She says, you're dead, you think. So I said, no. She said, well, anyway, don't worry about it, just relax, she says, be quiet and be just restful, you know, and drink your cup of tea. I thought, well, this is all so bloody silly. I mean, she's talking to me about drinking tea, but I'd never heard of him drinking tea up in heaven. So I thought, no, I'll have to over it. It's just a dream, I'll wake up, you know. Anyway, we sat there, and the next thing I knew was, there was a young fella came in. Oh, I think he was looked about 19 or 20, tall, fair, you know, nice looking boy. And I thought, well, I don't know you, mate. So he came in and he came up to me and he put his arm around me. He says, well, they're dead. Of course, that was the last straw. I said, dead? We mean dead. I ain't got no sons, never had no sons. And my wife says to me, she says, you know, we did. She said, you know, he died in infancy. This is Paul. I says, what? Paul. She says, don't you remember that little boy that we had that died very soon after, a few days after? I said, how can that be? I said, in any case, look at him. He's tall and grown up. She says, yes, he's grown up over here. I said, I don't understand all this. He says, Dad, never mind. He says, you will. You just sit down and look after. Don't worry. You know that sort of talk he's giving me. I don't know whether I'm... Well, they say I'm dead. I just said, Doc, you know, I should just wake up and it's all a crazy dream. So he says to me, he says, come, he says, let's go outside. So I thought, well, come on, let's go outside, see. So we went out. There was a nice little garden, and this garden somehow did something to me, I don't know. Suppose it is, I always wanted a nice garden, and when we were early married, we did have this nice little place. We were lucky, my parents had a little bit of money, not a lot, but they did provide us with a nice house, you see. There was this nice garden, and I remember in my early years, I used to work a lot in that garden. Here it was, all beautifully laid out, beautiful flowers, all marvellous, and the perfume. And they said, well, let's sit here. There was a little wooden seat. The funny thing is, I remember that seat because we had that same seat in our garden when we were first met. We sat down there and the birds was coming and whistling, and then I saw a dog. Mm-hmm. This dog, because that really was the last straw, really. I thought, well, I don't know, that's old Timmy, our Timmy. So, well, I says, don't you know old Timmy? As Timmy, the dog came up to me and wagged its tail and put its paw up on my lap. And I thought, oh, I don't know, this is all too good to be true. And I started thinking back and thinking, and I was so content and so happy and so relaxed, you know. And I thought, well, I don't deserve all this, because I'd led a bit of a life, you know, especially after the wife came over. I went to pieces a bit, I didn't care very much. I spent best part of my time in the pub, you know, and the old son. But I suppose it is, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't know, what have I done to deserve all this if what they say is true? And I thought, well, it must be true, and yet some part of me was saying it was true, some part was saying it's a dream and I should wake up out of it. And my son says, don't you remember your accident, Dad? I said, accident? What accident? He said, don't you remember falling off the tree? You were loping that tree, those branches had to come off and you fell. I says, I fell off a tree. Don't remember nothing about that. He says, well, that's what happened to your dad, don't you remember? And then you were taken to hospital with a concussion. And then you came to, you probably perhaps don't remember, but you came to, but actually it was a great shock to the whole system. And of course, after all, Dad, you know, you were getting on for 75, 76, weren't you? I says, I couldn't think. The funny thing was, I couldn't think clear at all about the past. Here and there bits would come up and I thought, I don't know, I don't know. So then my son says to me, Dad, I think the best thing for you, when you feel like it, is for me to go back with you to Earth just for a little while, only for perhaps what you might say an hour, if it might seem in time, just to see for yourself, you see. So I says, go back. She says, yes. So I says, well, how'd you do that then? He says, well, just be quiet. Just close your eyes and just relax. Don't concentrate on nothing, but just be quiet and peaceful and leave it to us. So I thought, well, might as well I do that. And I don't know what happened, but next thing I knew, I was back in my lodgings. Because after my wife died, I went to pieces, really. Got rid of the ash, you know, and I just took deep, you see. Anyway, and then I saw in the front of the ash, the hearse. The hearse who's died here. And my son says, it's you, Dad. I said, don't be silly, I'm here. He says, oh, Dad, that's your body they're putting in there. I says, my body. So I just couldn't take it at all. He says, come on, he says, if it'll make you, if it'll help you, he says, we'll follow. So I said, follow. I don't want to follow no bloody horses. He says, I don't want to go to no cemeteries. I'm not dead. He says, of course you're not dead. He says, that's just something I want to get into your head. He says, but that's your old body in there. And then I saw the landlady and her son. I was surprised to see him, if that was my body, because he never had much time for me. And he'd been having time off from work. I thought, well, he's doing me a bit of justice, isn't he? But anyway, they went off, you know, one or two other people. And, well, as a matter of fact, a couple of my old cronies and the son were there. But anyway, cut a long story short, I thought, well, I don't want to go after that lot. Let him get on with it. But He says, come on, let's go in the house. I said, what do I want to go in there for? He says, come on, let's go in the house. So I went in, they'd let go off of my body. I went in with my son, I went up to my room. I had a, on the first floor up in the front, I had a nice larger room. They sent me a few old bits there from the old place that they let me keep in. And I says, well, this is your old place. You recognise it, didn't you? I says, of course I recognise it. But he says, no, what you want to do is to get this out of your mind. Because he says, this is the end of that side of things. You must forget all about it. There's nothing here to hold your attention anymore. Nothing here to draw you back. I said, well, I don't know. I don't get this at all. I says, because I used to spend quite a bit of my time there. I read quite a lot. I was quite a good reader. A lot of old books, you know. I used to pick up secondhand and all that. And I used to like a quiet drink too, apart from going out sometimes. I never brought anyone back. Only once. Anyway, that's another story. In my sense, if you get rid of, you're going to get this all out of your mind, all out of your system. Forget all this. Now look at it. Do you want to come back here? One bloody back room like, you know, one room like this sort of thing. So I said, no, not particularly. I wasn't too keen, but it suited me, you know. After your mother died, I said, I didn't want to keep a house on. And yeah, I got a little bit from the house, which meant that I could relax and enjoy myself a bit, you know. So he says, well, get this all out of your mind now, forget it. You finish with it, you see your body go to the cemetery. I said, well, I don't know, that was my body. So he said, don't be silly, because it was your body. I told you you're dead. So I said, you keep telling me that, but I can't get into my head. I'm dead. If I'm dead, I was dead. I said, how am I like I am now? So my son said, this will all settle itself, but you must get out of your system, this place. And I said, well, do you think we could look in the old sun? So he said, my son said, well, what do you want to go and look in the sun for? So he said, well, I don't know, I'd just like to go and have a look. So he said, oh, well, all right. So we came down the stairs, walked down the road. Funny, really, when you think about it. And the gate, you know, I shut the gate just automatically like I used to. My son said, what'd you do that for? So I said, well, I always do it. It's always the right thing to do, shut the gate behind you. My son said, it wasn't necessary. You could have walked through lakes. You didn't have to sort of... I said, look, you've given me something here. I said, about walking through gates and doors and things. And he said, come on, let's go. So we went down and went down to the corner, around the corner of the sun. And there, well, of course this should wait. There was two of my old friends. God, dear, oh dear. And they were sitting down in the corner. Where they nearly always sat. They could get that good nattering away, talking about me in the past, you know. About poor old Sid and all the rest of it. I said to my son, I said, they're talking about me. So he said, of course they're talking about you, you're dead. But I said, they're talking as if I'm nowhere around, as if I'm no longer alive. He said, well, to them you're not, you see. I said, but I am, you know I am. You told me I am, and I know I am. Look, I said, look, I'm as solid as you, solid as they are. He said, yes, but they can't see you. I said, well, why can't they see me? He said, well, they can't see you because you're on a different vibration. So he said, let's go sit down with them, see if they sense anything. So I said, what do you mean, sense anything? So he said, you never know, some people do sense things. Sometimes people are what they call psychic, you see. So we went and sat down. And it struck me as funny at the time. It still does, rather. And one of them, old Bates, said, yeah, of course, it's bloody draughty here, isn't it, mate? I said, I don't feel nothing. Well, you must be sick with the draught. I don't feel that draught. She says, oh, he says, I felt somebody cold, please, or something. He says, there's windows open or something around here. He says, well, I said, I don't feel nothing. And my son was laughing. And I said, well, the hell are you laughing at like that, you know? He said, it's you that they feel. He feels, he says, you're the bloody draught. He says, they all think they wear a draught, you know. They feel something, and they get a cold breeze or something, and they think it's a draught from the window or underneath the door or something, and quite often it's us. That's as near as they ever get to us, half these people, in spite of all that religion, all that gap in the church, as far as they ever get to us is we're a draft to them. So I said, well, I don't know about a draft, I could do with a glass of draft myself. Of course, they started us off, we started laughing, the tears rolling down my cheeks, and we sitting there, nattering away. These other two old cronies of mine and a few other people are coming by, and nobody took a blind bit of notice of us. We could have gone and helped ourselves and enjoyed ourselves if we wanted to, but... Of course he wouldn't have enjoyed it, I suppose. That's another thing that I realised. You get a sense of things, and you don't, in a way, sort of, how to put it, you know. It's, for instance, he wanted a cup of tea. Oh, lady gave me a cup of tea. He was as real to me as anything. But I realise now, I didn't realise then, but it's all within oneself. It's all in your mind in a kind of way. Anyway, I got a bit rattled off with Lux in there. So I said to my son, I said, well, not much point sitting here, no one takes any notice. If I want a glass of beer, I can't bloody well can't have it. So my son said, oh, you could have a glass of beer if you wanted it, but it wouldn't be much point. So my son said, don't you see, he said, that all this is finished for you. You can come and visit people if you want to, but they'll never take any notice of you. You go to a church, you sit in a congregation, the pastor who's supposed to know you says about these things, he wouldn't see you there. He wouldn't recognise you. He wouldn't turn around and say, oh, to beloved congregation, one of our old members has turned up, would you like to have a word with him? You know, the point is that people are so ignorant of these things. They talk about them, some of them, but they don't really know anything about it. Because my son was off, I said, hey, what's happening to you? You talk as if you want to sort of be a bit of a parson yourself. My son laughed. He says, well, actually, he says, you know, I came here on embassy. I've grown up over here, and I've become a teacher. Oh, I said, that's it, is it? Teacher? I get, you know, putting his leg a bit. So he said, oh, yes, he says, I teach the young people, and I help and uplift as best I can those who first come over, the newcomers. He says, I have wonderful work helping all kinds of people, and I love doing it, you see. And he started telling me about his work. It was all very interesting. But all this, in spite of everything that had happened, all seemed to me so sort of, I don't know, like a story, you know. I thought, well, everyone says I'm dead. Certainly no one that knew me. Look at these two old cronies of mine. They don't even know I'm here. And I did see the earth leave the earth. It must have been me. And yet it couldn't be me because I'm here. Because I hadn't grasped the idea then that the physical body, as you call it, the old body, that may die. But you don't die. The real person don't die. There was me, exactly the same. Same outlook, same thoughts. No different whatsoever. Still writes the old thought, idea, things, you know. Oh, it was amazing. Of course, I've changed a lot since then. I've been there for many years, and I'm very settled, and I'm very happy. But, if only people could realise that dying, though it may be for some people perhaps a bad thing, but I mean a bad thing from the point of view of the suffering and the pain of the physical body, as you call it, but oh, only worry, it's a bit of a shock at first, but you soon realise that, well, you're not dead, you're more alive than ever you was. I wouldn't want to come back now to your side. I used to live, I don't mind. I'd come like this. I mean, when I was heard about all this business of coming back and communicating, I thought, oh, well, I'd heard about you and medium and all that. And I thought, well, I'd like to have a go, see if I could get through. And then I was told that my sort of story like would be of interest because I'm just an ordinary bloke. And, you know, I thought, well, I have a try at it. So I thought, oh, this morning I'll come and just have a good matter to you, you know.
Thank you very much.
What's your leg on your side, Dave?
Cool, blimey, what a question. Cool, what a
could
question.
Could you tell us about it?
I don't know if I'll do it now, but it's everything that everyone wanted it to be, according to one's own desire, and I suppose. It depends on the individual, obviously. It suits me. I have all the things that I necessarily need, like everything that would make me happy. Of course, my idea of happiness may not be someone else's. I appreciate that. And there are no doubt many different, you know, different types of worlds according to the individual. But mine is a world not unlike yours, in many ways like yours, but without all the drawbacks. No one need fear dying. The thing is, to know how to live when you're on your side. I regret many things I did and didn't do. If only we could realise then what we know now. I suppose that's what we all say, but if only we knew about this life, how differently we would live yours. Anyway, I must go, mate.
Will you have your name, friend, before you go, please?
My name's Sid Hopkins.
Sid Hopkins?
Yeah.
And where did you live, actually, Sid?
Well, actually, my last 25 years of life was spent in Bristol, although I'm not a Bristolian or anything like that.
Oh,
really? Actually, I came originally I came from Blackheath.
Yes.
But that's a long story.
Yes.
But actually, I lived in Bristol and died there, some 10 years back now. I must go.
Oh, thank you very much for a very interesting talk.
Ricky.
Goodbye, Ricky.